Well, welcome. I'm Pastor Garrett Morgan with my good friend, David.
David Bolduc here at Strong Tower Radio. Yes.
Always a blessing to be here at Strong Tower Radio. We are spending some time with this radio show called A Thoughtful Hour, and we take our name from a quote here from Desire of Ages that says, it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones.
Yes. Especially the closing ones.
Especially the closing ones. Last time that we met, we talked about how most of the chapters in the Gospels are not only talking about the final moments of the life of Christ, but specifically that last week.
Yes.
And that's what we started to discover. And today, what we're going to be taking a look at, we're going to focus on Christ as he is coming into Jerusalem for that Passover feast taking place in that town.
That's right. Yeah.
So we find this story in Matthew chapter 21, and we immediately find something interesting. Jesus understands that as he rides into Jerusalem, that a spectacle is going to be made. The crowd is going to go crazy.
Right.
The fact that he's riding a colt, the foal of a donkey, is significant because, and I find this interesting, when you look in the Bible, when a horse is being ridden into a town, it is symbolic of war happening.
Oh, wow.
But when a king rides a colt or a foal of a donkey into a city, it means that he comes in peace.
Like King David.
Like David.
Yeah. And the different times whenever one of his sons tried to take the throne, Absalom.
Yes.
What did he do?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Jesus riding a colt, the foal of a donkey, into Jerusalem is symbolic of him telling the people, I'm not here to cause an uprising. I'm here for peaceful reasons.
But he's drawing attention to himself. When has he done that in his ministry before?
I'm glad you brought that up. Because whenever Christ, you know, you see him heal someone or raise someone from the dead, he usually tells the people that he's healed, don't say anything.
Except the demoniac.
Yes.
He said, go and tell your family and your neighbors what the Lord has done for you. But even right next to that, you have the story of Jairus. The girl was raised from the dead. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And he's like, let the miracle speak for itself, but you don't need to embellish it.
Exactly. Or I'm thinking of one other example of when he heals the leper.
Yes.
He makes sure that the leper goes through the legal process and talks to the priest to get cleansed.
Because he knew if that leper had started telling everybody, there would have been no way he would have ever entered society again.
Exactly. Exactly. So except for these examples that we're bringing up, and there may be a few others, as a general rule, when Christ did a healing or just his entire life, he always tried to get out of the spotlight.
Yeah, he just disappeared. The first miracle he did, taking the water, there's an interesting story
Cana,
too.
Yeah.
Takes that, makes it into wine. They look for him. Where'd he go?
Gone.
The disciples and even the servants. Tell us your story.
Exactly. So here we see Jesus walking in to a spectacle.
Yes.
And I've always wondered why. I mean, I think it's the prophet Zechariah that mentions that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem in this fashion.
Yeah.
So he's fulfilling prophecy.
Again.
Again. Yeah. In doing this.
When did Jesus not fulfill prophecy? It's just like when he did something, another prophetic.
Yeah. His entire life.
Yes.
He's doing that. But at this point, he's doing it yet again. But I've always asked the question, why is it that all of a sudden Christ is willing, in fact, he almost goes out of his way to put himself in the spotlight as the spectacle?
Yes.
He knew something.
It's like there is a floodlight shining on him saying, are you paying attention to what's going on right here, right now? There's a reason for Jesus to be here right now.
Absolutely. So Jesus is going into this understanding that the time of his death is imminent. And him making a spectacle of himself in Jerusalem, and I don't mean that in a negative way, is kind of lighting the fuse.
But he knew exactly the day and the hour he was supposed to die, because that had been foretold.
Absolutely. And we were talking about this before we started the show. Back in Exodus, it even mentions the time frame that Jesus walking into Jerusalem was significant.
Yes.
It was the 10th day of the month of Nisan, right?
Nisan, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
Exodus chapter 12.
Exodus 12, thank you. So when Christ was coming into Jerusalem, as he was riding into the gate next to the temple, He would have passed Gethsemane on his way in, because the biblical narrative says he comes down from the Mount of Olives. That gate would have been the one next to the temple.
The sheep gate. Yeah.
Go figure.
The shepherd is going through the sheep gate.
Yes. With all these sacrificial animals, the lambs walking in front of him.
Yeah.
The one that was symbolizing the death that he was about to die.
And what did John the Baptist call him at the beginning, at the baptism?
The Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God.
So every detail in the biblical narrative here is not just symbolic and not just like pleasing to the mind, but there's deep spiritual lessons.
Yes.
But anyway, we find Christ, and here in Matthew 21, he's walking in to Jerusalem through that sheep gate with all the sacrificial animals.
And which verse are you in?
Matthew 28, verse 8.
8, okay.
Yeah. It mentions a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Sounds like something went viral that day.
Yeah. So I love that you said it that way. It was popular, it was viral to be claiming that Jesus was the Son of David and be giving him praise.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about the disciples again. This must have been so exciting for them.
Oh, their whole world is like, see, and these, especially like Judas, like, this is it. This is it. We're going right to the throne. We're going to be it.
This is what we've been waiting for. Yeah. Here's the start of the earthly kingdom.
Jesus finally got it. They're thinking, now we're going to be, you know, they've all got, who's the greatest? Oh, I'm going to be this. They're lining up everything.
Oh, yeah. So their world is just limitless right now. So everyone in that scene, the crowd singing Hosanna, the disciples probably beaming. I'm sure you had the Pharisees over there scheming.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're probably like, we've lost it.
Oh, yeah. It's over.
It's over. We're done.
But you have to also thinking about what's going through the mind of Christ. Probably not the euphoric feelings that's going through everyone else's mind.
Well, remember before he gets to the city, he's on the hill and he stops and he weeps. And it's like a person weeping for a dear lost loved one. Someone that's tragically died. Weeping because the Pharisees, the leaders, their mindset was, we don't want to have anything to do with you. Even though we see all this information about you, we followed you all of your life, we reject you.
That's so much. And not only that pressure, but also realizing and the pressure that that crucifixion was mere moments away, I mean, days away.
Yeah.
And seeing the symbols of those lambs that are going in to be killed.
Yeah. To the people going, it's kind of like a celebration.
Yeah.
But to lambs, it's not.
No.
And to Christ, he's saying, I wish like a mother hen, I could have covered you, but you wouldn't.
Right.
You chose not to.
Right. So this is not a happy day for the Messiah.
Not for him. But he went through it because of the joy he saw coming.
Absolutely.
After.
Absolutely. And we talked about one of the themes of the show is, you know, in Revelation 14, it says that God's people will follow the Lamb wherever he goes.
Yeah.
And we all want to follow him to the kingdom, but are we willing to follow him to the cross? Are we willing to say, Lord, here am I, come and take my life?
But he was on the cross before we got there.
Amen to that.
So the good shepherd leads his flock.
Mm-hmm.
The evil shepherd drives his flock.
Yes.
He went to the cross. We're going where our master went.
Amen. And he had to walk that alone.
Yes.
And we walk being led. I mean, one of the books that I've read recently is about being, you know, just leadership, being a leader. And I guess this is very common as far as leadership goes. But one thing that they tell you or that you'll read a lot in leadership books is never do something or never tell your employee to do something that you're not willing to do yourself.
That's right.
Right. Yes. And Christ is the ultimate leader.
Absolutely.
In not just being crucified upon a tree. But we can't even compare dying daily or being crucified with Christ.
Right.
I mean, Christ's crucifixion is so different than crucifying self.
But consider where he came from.
Mm.
The glories of heaven, and he shed all of that to become a child.
Yes.
To grow up for this particular week to be the Passover sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. When Christ was born, he was Like you ask a child, what are you going to do when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
Christ was born to die.
Yes.
That's what he was going to do.
Yeah.
So there's just so much detail in this, but you're right. It was trendy. It was viral for people to say, Hosanna to the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blessed is he who comes in the name
of
the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, Hosanna translates to in Hebrew, oh, save, oh, save. That's what Hosanna means.
Save. Wow.
So kind of like, oh, save the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, save Jesus, preserve him. This is the man that we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. But it's interesting, and it's like, and I know that Jesus knew that this was going to happen. But when you look in John chapter 12 and verse 19, this is another gospel narrative on this. We were in Matthew. But as soon as Jesus rides through those gates,
mm-hmm.
this is what the Pharisees say in John 12, 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive you how you prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world is gone after him. So like you said, the Pharisees thought, oh, we've lost it.
You're accomplishing nothing. Everything that we've tried for these past 3.5 years, it's for naught.
Yeah.
We've done nothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're going to talk about this next time that we meet, but like we mentioned, it was popular in the crowd to sing Hosanna. But a few days later, as Christ is there before Pilate,
right,
people from that same city, from that same crowd, are not singing Hosanna.
No, they're not.
They're singing a very different tune.
Yeah. And it's popular then, too.
Yeah.
Well, it was popular on Sunday, now Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Completely opposite.
Instead of Hosanna, it's crucify him.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk about this more next time that we meet, but what is popular in Christian circles, what is popular maybe even at the pulpit, what's popular in modern Christianity as a whole, popularity doesn't necessarily mean that whatever's going around is true.
That's right.
In fact, it can be dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. And of course, we find this throughout the Bible, but, you know, it mentions a remnant people in the last days that aren't going to be necessarily popular.
But you know, going back to what we talked about last time, to be a citizen of Christ's kingdom,
mm-hmm.
we need to be a good citizen.
Amen.
And a good citizen keeps the principles of the kingdom.
That's
of
right.
The king.
That's right.
The principles that guided Christ are those principles that are guiding us.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not, then we're not a citizen.
Absolutely. And if we're not following Christ's example, then when he comes to bring his children home, that's not going to be a joyous day for us either.
No, we're going to look at him and it's like, oh, not you.
This isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is what we find the crowd as well in this same situation. One moment, they're crying Hosanna. A few days later, they're yelling, crucify him. How does one's mind change so quickly from one end of the spectrum to the other?
We have to have a foundation. We have to have that fortitude that says, this is my Lord.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is Jesus, that strong faith. And unfortunately, we don't really find that faith in the crowd there in Jerusalem.
No.
And unfortunately, we don't really find that faith in the 12 disciples at this time.
But again, like we talked about last time,
yes.
God does not give up on us.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. He continues to minister to the disciples, and he weeps, like you mentioned, he weeps for those children in Jerusalem, and he continues to labor for them. And I'm not trying to get ahead, but even when Christ was on the cross, he took the time to answer the questions that the thief next to him had about salvation.
That's a beautiful story, but mentioning time, we're out of time.
Oh, man. All right. So we will close up for today, but thank you so much for joining us here on A Thoughtful Hour at Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.